ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 24 वर्स 56। यत्र निर्विष्टमारणम् यत्र निर्विष्टमारणम् वृतान्तो नाभिमन्यते वृतान्तो नाभिमन्यते विश्वं विद्वांसयान् वीर्या विश्वं विद्वांसयान् वीर्या शौर्य विस्फूर्जत विस्फूर्जिता ब्रुवा शौर्य विस्फूर्जिता ब्रुवा यत्र निर्विष्टनार्न आरणम् वृतान्तो न विमन्यते विश्वं विद्वांसयान् वीर्या शौर्य विस्फूर्जिता ब्रुवा यत्र निर्विष्टमारणम् कृतान्तो न विमन्यते विश्वं विद्वांसयान् वीर्या शौर्य विस्फूर्जिता ब्रुवा। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग यत्र वेरन Nirvishitam Aranam, a completely surrendered soul. Kritanta, invincible time. Nabhimanyate, does not go to attack. Vishwam, the entire universe. Vidvamsayan, by vanquishing. Virya, prowess. Shaurya, influence. Vispurjita, simply by expansion. Bhruva, of the eyebrows. Translation. Simply by expansion of his eyebrows, invincible time personified can immediately vanquish the entire universe. However, formidable time does not approach the devotee who has taken complete shelter at your lotus feet. Can you repeat the translation? Simply by expansion of his eyebrows, invincible time personified can immediately vanquish the entire universe. However, formidable time does not approach the devotee who has taken complete shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.34, it is said that the Lord in the shape and the form of death destroys all the person's possessions. Mrityu sarvadharaschaham. I am the all-devouring death. The Lord in the shape of death takes away everything that is created by conditioned souls. Everything in this material world is subject to perish in due course of time. However, all the strength of time cannot hamper the activities of a devotee. For a devotee takes complete shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. For this reason only is a devotee free from formidable time. All the activities of karmis and gyanis, which have no touch of devotional service, are spoiled in due course of time. The material success of karmis is destined to be destroyed. Similarly, the impersonal realization attained by the jnani is also destroyed in course of time. Aruya krishena padam padam tatha patantiya adhonadita yushmalamraya Bhagavatam 10.232. To say nothing of karmis, the jnanis undergo severe austerities to attain the impersonal brahmajyoti. But because they do not find the lotus feet of the Lord, they fall down again into this material existence. Unless one is fully situated in unalloyed devotional service, there is no guarantee of liberation. Even if one is elevated to the heavenly planets or to the impersonal Brahman effulgence, a devotee's achievement, however, is never lost by the influence of time. Even if a devotee cannot completely execute devotional service, in his next life he begins from the point where he left off. Such an opportunity is not given to the karmis and gyanis whose achievements are destroyed. The bhakta's achievement is never destroyed, for it goes on perpetually, be it complete or incomplete. This is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Bhishto Vijayate. If one is unable to complete the process of Bhakti Yoga, he is given a chance in his next life to take birth in a pure family of a devotee or in a rich family. In such families, a person can have a good opportunity to further progress in devotional service. When Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, was instructing his assistants, he told them not to approach the devotees. The devotees should be offered respect, he said, but do not go near them. Thus the devotee of the Lord are not under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is a representative of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he controls the death of every living entity. Yet he has nothing to do with the devotees. Simply by blinking his eyes, time personified can destroy the entire cosmic manifestation, but he has nothing to do with the devotee. In other words, devotional service which is rendered by a devotee in this lifetime can never be destroyed by time. Such spiritual assets remain unchanged, being beyond the influence of time. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deen Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpaturubhyasya Kripasindhubhyo Cha Patitanama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunnevadi Paschata Deshitarine Hare Krishna. Continuing with the instructions of Lord Shiva, two more verses to go, quite a few. It is a very nice instructions, especially today's verse can be a bit of eye opener for someone who may not take spiritual life very seriously. So while preparing, I was thinking for myself, you know, it's time to get a little bit more serious than what I pretend to be. So seeking all your blessings to actually put something in practice, what I have prepared. It's easy to speak, but very hard to practice. But with the blessings of devotees, it's possible. So we see in this verse how the power of time is explained. The power of time is explained, which is the power of death is also explained. The fear which accompanies death is also coming forth from the purport. And how to counteract or how to go beyond that fear or how to go beyond the effect of time is also very nicely explained just in one line by Lord Shiva. So we see in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned a verse from Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter verse 34 where Krishna is describing that Mrityu Sarva Harascham, that I am death personified who takes away everything. Actually, he destroys all the possessions of every living entity. So that brings us to a question that, so when many times in Bhagavatam or in many of the verses we see, even in this verse it's saying that time or death cannot touch devotee or destroy devotees or cannot harm the devotees. What does that actually mean? What is it actually talking about? So the purport hints quite a bit on that also. So when we say, now if you see a devotee's possession is also gone, his body is gone, his wealth is gone, relation, family, everything is gone, is destroyed. Whereas someone who is not a devotee, the same, all the possessions are also destroyed. But what is not destroyed about for a devotee is something on which time doesn't have influence. So time doesn't have influence on something which is completely for a devotee in relationship to the Supreme Lord. That's his devotional credit. So in the purport, if you see, there is a verse in Bhagavatam, second canto, third chapter, 17th verse, which says, Ayur arati vaham vaipumsa uddhyan astam chayanaso tasyarthi yat shano nitya uttam shloka vartaye. So this verse is explaining how the effect of time is happening. So both by rising and setting of the sun, it decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. So the time has this destructive nature, which, like the verse says, by the rising and setting of sun, it's actually destroying whatever we have. But for devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord, who have taken shelter of the all good personality of Godhead, this time doesn't affect, because the time, the effect which it is talking about is the spiritual credit which the devotee has accrued. Whereas in Prabhupada gives the example of, if a devotee has made a certain progress, spiritual progress in one's life, then the next life begins from wherever the person has left. So he's quoting a verse about Suchinam Srimatam Gehe. So if a devotee has done a little bit spiritual progress in his journey, then the next life is given an opportunity either to take birth in a family of a devotee or in a rich family. Of course, now rich families can be more hard to practice spiritual life when you're in rich families. But here it's talking about those aristocratic families where the culture was still there and the facilities are there, where the person doesn't have to work hard to just maintain one's livelihood, and from very beginning spiritual life becomes easier. So if you see this verse which we quoted from Bhagavatam, which is talking about how by setting and rising of sun, the time is destroying the practically everything what we have. This particular verse indicates another very interesting thing, where it says that that this is it's not reducing the duration of life of someone who even shana, even for a moment, comes in association about discussing the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So actually, when I was reading this verse, it made some sense also, that how and why Srila Prabhupada is encouraging book distribution also. Because when we are on the street, or if you are talking to someone and you speak to them about Krishna, or you give them a book and they open and read even one verse or one page or a word or whatever, a line, because they come in contact with this message of Supreme Lord, for a moment this takes effect, basically, because that person is not in contact, at least for that moment, is not in under the jurisdiction of the effect of time. So going further in the verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is again talking about how the jnanis and the karmis, who are practically under the grip of time, their effects are getting destroyed. The in one of the purports I was reading, Srila Prabhupada was saying that only for a devotee, only for a bhakta, Actually, it was a room conversation, I think. Only for a devotee, any practice what he does, only for a devotee that practice, the credits which he accrues from that practice is granted to him for next life to continue from. Rest all, he said, literally he said, rest everyone, their credits are destroyed, they have to start again. So, which is a very big statement if you see. He was talking about karmis and jnanis. Their all credits are just completely destroyed. You know, that, like yesterday Nandamandi Prabhu was quoting the verse, what is that? Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta krishna bhakta nishkam yata eva shanta. So, someone who is a karmi or a person who is interested in just bhukti or sense enjoyment, mukti, someone who is interested in just mere liberation, or someone who is interested in siddhis, just yogic perfections, they are all disturbed, they are ashanta. Whereas a devotee, because he is not interested in any material desires, he is shanta. So I was thinking, you know, just recently we had, and that verse is so amazing, that recently we had, there was some cricket matches happening where India was about to reach the finals and they lost in semi-finals, something happened. I was reading the news that two people died towards the end of the match when India was about to win and they lost the match. Two people died, heart fail. Just it's amazing how it happens. Neither you gain anything monetarily, it's just completely, you want to enjoy your senses, thinking I am from such and such country, in such and such country, won such and such trophy, and now my country holds another World Cup. And India lost that match, and this person, he was not even betting that he lost his money. He was just so much involved. He was so much involved that when one of the main players towards the end couldn't score, he just died. He had cardiac arrest. This is okay, I'm still an adult. One 6-year-old boy cried for hours because that batsman got out, couldn't score, couldn't get the match. So, bhukti, sense enjoyment. And when it gives happiness, what you expect, then very elated. When it doesn't give, the balloon is completely deflated. And then can result in such disasters. So, some classes before I was telling, you know, in many years before in one of the cricket match, one guy had betted some money and the team won. Right in the ground, that person died because of the happiness. He couldn't control how much money he won in betting. On the cricket field, he died. So, this is reality. So, and you see, persons who are after liberation, you know that Prabhupada quotes a couple of lines from the verse, but the verse itself is so nice. Then from 10th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 32. Actually, these are the prayers of the demigods with the appearance of the Lord, where Lord Brahma and the demigods are actually praying to the Lord, telling what is the position of devotees and non-devotees. And he says, what happens to the non-devotee? So the demigods and Lord Brahma, they're praying together. This is the verse. Yanne arvinda aksha vimukta manina Tvayasta bhavad avisuddha buddhe aruhya krikshena padam param padam tata patanti adhonartha yushmad angraya. So they say that, O lotus-eyed Lord, all the non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated. Their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So people, they are spiritualists who are practicing or supposed to claim to be practicing whatever process they follow to attain liberation. Lord Brahma is here saying, Vimukta Maninas. They may think that they are liberated, but actually they are not. Why? Because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So we've heard Srila Prabhupada also speaking that even if those who do not act as devotees, as bhaktas are acting, and they want to follow a path which is just taking them towards liberation, they still cannot achieve liberation if they have practice. They need to have at least some devotion for the Supreme Lord. This is almost 14-15 years before, we would visit one person. He would claim himself to be Guru. He had many followers, actually many thousands of followers. My brother once went also to one of his yearly assembly, and he had like thousands of followers coming and visiting him. He was a acupuncture doctor also. So, claiming himself to be a great personality, and he had his posters throughout the city, at least in our whole area, there were many posters he had. So, he was trying to enter people's life through medicine, through treating them and becoming popular. So he was telling, his clinic was on level 1. I also went at least 5-6 times for treatment, free treatment it was. He would charge minimal for the medicines. And on the ground floor he had a temple. And on the ground floor the temple he had would have thick black glass. No one can see through, barely you can see through. So one time I was there with my mother, my auntie was there with my mother and my auntie. They were trying to see inside, and he noticed that they're interested in what's inside. So he took them inside. He had a whole temple inside. So there was a whole temple. There were deities of Durga, Krishna, Ram. Like, it was a big place. He had many deities. So my mother was very much attached to Durga Devi's worship. She said, "Oh, I also worship Durga Devi. I also do this, that, all that." She started telling. Then he said, "Oh, Durga, what can she do? I only dress her every day. She can't even dress herself every day. It's me who dresses her. What can she do?" Literally he said that. And then we went up and he gave us his card. I told this before also. He gave his card, which had, it was Vishnu Aarti. Vishnu Aarti was there. Brahma, Shiva, Tum, Dhyava, Jai, Vishnu, Deva, something was there. But instead of Vishnu was his name. So that's the mindset or approach he had. Then it took me many years to understand what this guy was doing after hearing Prabhupada's philosophy. That what was he preaching to us? Because my mother and my auntie, they didn't feel comfortable the way he said that. And he would talk about black magic and all that. You know, he even told us, you know, just, I know people, just by touching the color of the cloth, they can change color. You give me your photo, all problems will be solved. So we got scared actually. Then they stopped going there. But later, after hearing from Srila Prabhupada, the clarity of philosophy he gave, you can understand what such people are, in what position. What are they actually trying to do? What their mentality is. Like yesterday, Nandamani Prabhu was telling that how this was such a classic example of a pure Mayavadi, I would say, pure Mayavadi, who just want to use the deities to achieve what he wants to achieve. And deities are nothing but ladder for him on which he steps on. And once they don't need, they just kick. Whereas for devotees, it's completely different. It's completely different. The whole approach towards deity worship is that they are not different from the Supreme Lord. They are not different from Krishna. But when we see these people who are very much interested in just sense enjoyment, or people like who are just mukti kamis, what do we expect? What do we expect for them to achieve in terms of spiritual progress? Because their whole approach is self-centered. And the self may shift from senses to the progress of soul. Recently, we went to the farm. We were studying a section of Bhagavatam, which was Queen Kunti's prayers. And we were taking reference and guidance from Bhujan Prabhu's lectures. So it was very nice to go through those lectures and then go through the section of certain section of Srimad Bhagavatam. verse by verse. Guruji Prabhupada's lectures were very much connected to Srila Prabhupada's purport, what he was talking about, and then how in those verses he was explaining so many different nice points where the surrender or sharanagati of a devotee comes in place in comparison to we see how a bhakti or a mukti, a mukti kami, or someone who is desiring sense enjoyment, who is just desiring liberation acts. So, a very nice example Prabhupada gave, that he was explaining how a devotee's mood or a devotee's attitude towards the Supreme Lord is that of a dog. So a dog, once he has his master, once a dog has the master, so that dog, no matter how the master treats the dog, no matter how the master provides for the dog, whether he provides luxuriously or he provides practically nothing, once the dog chooses, oh, this is my master, the dog never leaves the master. And very interesting point Prabhu made, that when the dog is not happy with the master, the dog complains to the master also. Dog can complain to the master, but dog never leaves the master. Why? Because one understands that beyond enjoyment of the senses, or beyond just attaining my self-centered goal of liberation, Krishna is my Supreme Lord, whom I have to develop my loving relationship with. So the example which he was giving of a dog is amazing actually. If you see that, who was telling that this is my study about dogs, what I've learned from studying dogs is no matter if a master kicks also to the dog, it never comes in the mind of the dog that I will leave this master. So comparing ourselves with that as a devotee, then many times life may throw troubles and will throw troubles at us. And that's the whole idea of Sharanagati, or surrendering ourselves to the Supreme Lord, is that life will throw troubles to us, but what is our approach towards the Supreme Lord will define us as a surrendered devotee. Because the verse which is talking about how the time has no effect, or death has no effect on a devotee who has taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, means this, that no matter what, his relationship with the Supreme Lord is not hampered. Whereas if you actually see, if someone is very weak in spiritual understanding, very easily devotional practices are dropped, very easily relationship with devotees are dropped, very easily coming to temple is dropped, very easily services are dropped. It becomes very easy. It's just as if you're waiting for something to happen and you just have an excuse of not doing something, not doing anything in relationship with the Supreme Lord. So, whereas a surrendered soul who acts as a dog of the Supreme Lord completely acts in different ways. So, there's a nice verse in Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 14th chapter, verse 33, which says, in this material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. So, now if you see this verse, it says, when a conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness. Recently we were talking to one devotee, that the devotee's complaint was that whenever I come to temple, people correct me, and when people correct me, I don't want to come to temple. So the idea of coming to temple is, of course, to worship and do some spiritual practice. But the idea of coming to temple is also to improve. And because the idea of coming to temple is to improve, and if someone thinks I don't need improvement, then this mentality will be very much in place, that don't correct me. Because I don't want If you don't want correction, then that means you don't want to improve. So, but if someone does correct, and interesting fact was it was not even a rash correction. It was very basic, very common correction, which if you do a mistake, anyone would do, any devotee would just see you and then correct you. So then later that devotee who understood his own problem was telling me that my mind was just giving me excuse of just not coming to temple. So that's why this verse, which I quoted, that go tripte varanam tava, that how, no matter what happens, the devotee never leaves the association of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. So, going further in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is talking about how for a practicing devotee, for us, speaking for myself, when we do see problems in our life, which naturally does come, then the faith can be shaken, which is very easy, very common. The faith can be shaken, and when the faith shakes, if we are not smart enough to put ourselves in protection of devotees, then just wait and watch how that shaken faith leads us to completely giving up the whole process. So many examples we see around us, and you can very, very carefully observe how those devotees are acting when problems are coming in life, is that they've actually stopped associating closely with devotees when problems do hit them. When problems do hit such devotees, they stop closely associating with devotees, and then what it leads to is that mind overpowers, mind takes over in terms of training and teaching them than devotees or the Supreme Lord through scriptures training and teaching them. So whereas we see certain very good examples of devotees who I was recently hearing one of the lectures where one devotee was mentioning that how just by this one activity, just by this one activity of not going away from devotees, protected that person in thick and thin, that just by doing this one activity of no matter what, I will think myself as unqualified person who cannot survive without devotees. Just this one activity. He said, my whole 20-30 years of Krishna consciousness, I can just tell this one thing, that because I did this one activity of no matter what I am going through, I will not leave devotees even if I don't like them, has made me a stable devotee even after 3 decades. Which he said, now I can very boldly claim that I am stable, which I was not before, just by this one activity. Because somehow in my mind I had a very strong understanding that I will not be able to do it alone. I will not be able to do it by myself. I need help. And with all the problems that person faced, he just stick to it. Because for us, one guest, he comes to temple. He was telling me, oh, your Srila Prabhupada's mission, ISKCON, is for Western people only. I said, why are you saying that? He said, you see his pranam mantra, nirvishesha sunyavadi paschata deshatarine. It says only for, his main mission is to deliver the Western world countries. I said, he's nirvishesha sunyavada, that means the impersonalism and the atheism or the voidism which is there in people's heart, which was very prominent in West, he's delivering people from that illusion. The Indians are very much into impersonalism, very much into voidism or atheism. So why Srila Prabhupada's teachings are not for us? You know, honestly speaking, how many of us, we all know deities are Krishna, but how many of us would treat deities as Krishna? Means through and through, like 100%. So that impersonalism or atheism is there within us. But just by this very simple act, just by this very, very simple act of continuing to associate with devotees who whose devotion is just so what we say, so contagious. You know, recently so many festivals went by, and waiting for the festival, we get enthusiastic or that we'll try and do some seva in the festivals, and becoming very excited, we go and attempt to do some seva. But when you see devotees that from last 3 days, they have done 40-50 hours of seva, what happens? You know, it has such an effect on you that you tired, not tired, doesn't matter, you want to push yourself. You know, there are devotees who actually hardly slept on Janmashtami days and before or after that. They hardly slept. And just seeing or just being with them, you are forced to see that whom are they doing for? Radha Vallabh. You know, no one has, means, most of us have not seen Krishna, but we have seen Radha Vallabh. And if this is just marble, metal or wood for them, how can they do it? So that rubs on, you know, that rubs on, that desire rubs on us. And if you are not with devotees, you are sitting at home, for example, and you want to celebrate Janmashtami, where will this enthusiasm come when we have Nirvishesha and Sunyavada, atheism and impersonalism within us, that we want to do something for Krishna, for deities on that level. So that's why that association of devotees has such an impact, that association has such an impact that people have turned criminals. People from good family have turned criminals just by associating with certain people. People who are practically very well behaving citizens have created havoc in society just by association. You know, people have become terrorists just by association. Now why can't we become pure devotees by association? We can become pure devotees by association, and that's how it works. I'll finish with one of the stories which Gurujan Prabhu was mentioning in those lectures. There was one Mataji from Iran, and that Mataji from Iran, because she comes from a Muslim background and there is a very strong education within Muslim community, that you cannot define God. You cannot define God, you cannot make a picture, you cannot draw Him, you cannot describe Him. So what to speak of having deities and decorating them, it's a waste of time. So that's all the thing. One time I had a very nice picture of Jesus Christ with me. It was a laminated picture, I kept it safe with me. I thought of gifting it to someone who may like it. So I kept it for months and months. And then there was one person who would come to Crossroads regularly, and he would pray. So I thought, thank you, bro. I thought, he's practicing Christianity. So I thought, he's such a nice person. Every time he's very grateful for prasadam, the way he talks to us. Every time before eating, he's praying. So one time I told him, I have a gift for you. And I gave him the picture. He said, oh, we don't follow all this. I said, oh, but you're not Christian. He said, no, I'm Muslim. I never knew that. So I gave him the picture, and he said, no, pictures and all, you can't describe God. Then he started this. He was still very nice. He still comes to Crossroads, he's a very nice person. And then started studying more of it. So the idea is that you are not qualified to describe how God looks. So any picture, any form, any painting is nothing but pure illusion. It's just your creativity, which has nothing to do with God who is sitting somewhere and controlling us. So this Mataji, coming from that background, from Iran, she was telling, she openly told Gurujan Prabhu that, I have one issue. She was in Vrindavan temple in front of Radha Shyam Sundar Krishna Balaram. That I have one issue, that I can chant, I can do everything else, I can follow all the process, but I cannot accept deities as Krishna. I just can't do it. That's how my training is. I just can't do it. So Gurujan Prabhu was telling that after giving all the philosophical explanations, or quite some time. It didn't work with her. It just didn't work. He could see that it's not working with her. She's not able to connect. She's still not able to understand what he's saying. How deep is our Krishna? So then Bhurijanpo said that, told that Mataji that just go in front of Balaram and just stand there and tell all your problems. And just stand in front of Balaram and just tell all your problems. Whatever you feel, whatever you face, whatever you think about them, whatever you think about the deities, their existence, their non-existence, whatever mindset you have, just stand in front of them and just tell. So that Mataji obediently followed, and she went and she stood in front of the deities for 45 minutes, 1 hour. She was just standing and telling all her issues, all the misconceptions or whatever her mindset is. And after 45 minutes, 1 hour, she came and told Prabhu that I accept it is Krishna. I accept it's Krishna. There is no doubt about it. So that 30-40 years of thick understanding, just by revealing one's heart in front of the deities, changed. So here we see the hero of the story, if you see, is Balaram, right? Who changed her heart. But who directed her to Balaram is a devotee. That's why the association has an impact. A very advanced association has a very serious impact on us. So all this, when we say time will have no effect, time will not destroy anything what I possess, you know, it appears pretty big. That I can see, we all can see time is having effect on us. But what is actually talking about is a very superior subject matter, which is the spiritual assets we have. Prabhupada says in the purport, the spiritual asset which devotee has accrued. But that spiritual asset, how do we access that? How do we understand all this is through devotees? So, and if someone reads this verse simply by expansion of his eyebrows, invincible time personified can immediately vanquish the entire universe. However, formidable time does not approach the devotee who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Lord. If Prabhupada's purport is not there, there is no way we will understand in this context what Srila Prabhupada is explaining. First of all, invincible time having eyebrows. So, very difficult actually, if you see. And that's why if you practically speak to anyone practicing spirituality, anyone outside practicing spirituality, we really feel, why don't they have Prabhupada in their life? Why not Prabhupada is there in their life? Because such clarity is there in explanation. So I would just stop there and see if there's any questions or comments. I'm waiting for the time. Yes.
Like in the 8th canto, I read that Brahma, when the demon, before the journey with the milk ocean, when the demons attacked the demigods, went to Brahma, and Brahma took them to Lord Vishnu. So I read that Lord Brahma prayed even though he had not. But I think so, I heard that in the starting of the creation, Brahma did lots of austerities and then he saw the Lord.
Correct.
Then he saw the Lord.
When he prayed before the churning of milk ocean.
Yes.
So that's how it's explained that it's not very easy to just go and have darshan of the Supreme Lord. Even for the demigods, even for Lord Brahma also. So through his own sweet will, the Supreme Lord may give darshan. Like the verse I read where demigods and Lord Brahma are praying, they are actually praying seeing Krishna. So when Krishna has appeared on this planet, they are actually seeing and praying to Krishna. But if Krishna wants, he can hide his identity, right? So with the sweet will, with the own desire of the Supreme Lord, he can give his darshan and he can refrain from it. So if you see Duryodhan saw Krishna, Shishupal saw Krishna, they all saw Krishna, right? But did he see him as God? They did not. Why? Because they were not qualified, and the identity of the Supreme Lord was different. So when demigods and Brahma, they want to see the Supreme Lord, if the Supreme Lord wills, they can have darshan, otherwise they cannot. So, okay. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
In the purport, there is a one sentence. If one is unable to complete the process of bhakti yoga, he is given a chance in next life to work in the human family.
Yes.
So my question is, what is this complete the process of bhakti yoga? We can complete our 16 rounds, we can complete the service of communications. What is the stage of what is that moment that, okay, we have completed the bhakti yoga process?
So the question is, in the purport there is one statement where it says if one is unable to complete the process of bhakti yoga, one is given chance in next life as a devotee or in a rich family. So Prabhu's question is that what it means to complete the process of bhakti yoga? Is it to just complete your rounds and your daily practices, or what does it actually means to complete the process of bhakti yoga? So, in my little understanding, the completion of process of bhakti yoga is that one, when one has no shelter other than the Supreme Lord. So, when a devotee comes to a stage where his only and only 100% shelter is Supreme Lord, that's completion of bhakti yoga. And that's not completion. That's further expansion of bhakti yoga, because you can never complete your devotion to the Supreme Lord, because it's ever expanding. But what you can complete is your attachment. You can have a complete detachment to your attachment to this material world by developing complete attachment to the Supreme Lord. So once that happens, then at least for this, from the point of view of coming again to this material world, that much development of bhakti yoga is done. That literally means, again I repeat, there is no other shelter than the Supreme Lord. There is no other shelter than the Supreme Lord. So one point came to my mind from that same retreat we had. We were studying that Queen Kunti's prayers. So Prabhupada made a point that many times we try and practice and put some process in practice in our life, and then suppose we decide, okay, today I'll do this much chanting, I'll try to be very attentive in chanting today, and we fail, and we will fail. And then we try again, and then we fail. And when we try, every day I'll read 2 hours, or I'll try and understand the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, and then we fail. And then we try something else and we fail, we try and we fail. And after failing so many times, we come to a conclusion, or we come to a state of consciousness which is called humility. That we come to the state of consciousness which makes us very humble, that we take even more shelter of the Supreme Lord, that without you I just cannot do it. So this is, even to practice spirituality we take Krishna's shelter. Then of course to give up this material attachment we need Krishna's shelter desperately. So yeah, that's my understanding of completing bhakti yoga. You know more than me anyways. Yes, Prabhu. Oh. You're here now.
I just said that a devotee never is he goes to visit another place.
Associate with devotee.
Yeah.
So the question is, we were discussing in class that a devotee, if he is smart, he should never leave the association of devotees. So what should a devotee do when he is traveling to another place and there is no devotees around? So how should he associate? So first of all, the meaning of association is not sitting together and hitting elbows to each other. That's not just association. Association is more, little bit more deeper. Association literally means that someone else's devotion, some other devotee's faith and someone else, some other devotee's surrender to Krishna inspires me to surrender more to Krishna. So that's association. For example, suppose one or another kid learns another mridanga beat and you are his friend. So naturally, because you are watching him playing nicer than you or some other beat, which is, you also would like to play that beat also. You would also like to try out. At least you will give a very sincere attempt to also learn that beat. But if so by that simple understanding is that, so when we are saying we need association of devotees, we are really talking about keeping ourselves in protection of devotees. That can be either through hearing regularly. You can go to a far place, but you can hear lectures. You have Prabhupada's books. You will not go alone. You will go with your mother. She is a devotee. So you are not alone anyways. When you are grown up and you go alone, then wherever you are, just try and, you know, there are devotees who travel to different parts of Australia for job. They are like missing Melbourne Association. But at least once a week they can go to a temple. So many ways to associate with devotees. That's why association is not physical association, where you are holding hands in hand each other with your friend. But it's much more than that. Yes, sir. You plan and ask questions? No, okay.
I had in my Bhagavad class that Brahma and the demigod cannot see Krishna. That only Brahma hears Krishna and tells what only he heard about Krishna. But then how did he see Krishna? And how did Brahma see Krishna and the beginning of creation?
So that's why I said, so the question is, we were discussing how Brahma, demigods cannot see Krishna. Brahma gets a message of the Supreme Lord in his heart. Then how in the beginning of creation Brahma saw Krishna? That's exactly what I answered before. If the Supreme Lord wants, he can give darshan. I'll give you one simple example. You know that Brahma Vimohan Leela? When Lord Brahma stole the cows and cowherd friends of Krishna. And then Krishna himself took the form of millions of calves and millions of cowherd boys. How many? Millions. He expanded himself. And Brahma, who does not get darshan of even one Vishnu, when he goes with the demigods to pray on the milk ocean, when he, after 1 year of earthly time, when he came back to see what Krishna is up to, Krishna gave him darshan of millions of Vishnu at one sight. All the cows and all the cowherd boys, in one look, Krishna gave him darshan of millions of Vishnu, which Brahma doesn't even get darshan of one Vishnu, or demigods doesn't get darshan of one Vishnu also. Why? Because the Supreme Lord wanted. So, and this happens, you know, many times people will claim, if God exists, he should show himself and prove it. Isn't it? Have you heard this? I have heard it many times. If he exists, then, and if he wants us to become improved, then let him show us who he is, and then we'll become his devotees. People will claim that. They'll question like that. But we cannot take the right of revealing himself from the Supreme Lord. If he wants to, he will. If he doesn't want to, he will not. The same happens with the devatas. Okay? We can plan something more. Hare, anything else? Hare Krishna. Grandrajan Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.